Welcome to the studio, everyone. I'm Eric C. Jackson, and today we are actually going to do a movie review. So I'm pretty excited about this. Okay, so I hope everyone has been doing really well. I did get to go to the movies last night. I haven't gone to see a film, and I don't know for how long. it's been a while. But what I wanted to go over, talk about, is Godzilla Minus One. And so what I'm gonna do is just run the trailer, and then I'll go into my thoughts. There's going to be a whole bunch of spoilers because I don't really know how to address or like talk about the film in a different way, but definitely spoilers. And but I guess I'll start off with my general thoughts and then go into the conversation of, you know, just more details about the film, and that's where the spoilers are going to come in. But here's a trailer on IMDb, and I'm not sure if everyone has heard about the film. Like, it took me a while to get to realize that the film was actually out, and then the reviews on the film were so good that it kind of sparked my interest. And like I said, there's one or two shows still left of the color version in the theater. So yesterday I went ahead and saw it. Okay, so let me see if I can blow this up. Sorry about that.
Let's begin, shall we?
This is
okay.
Apple TV Plus, the streaming.
But yeah, that's the trailer. Right now, they're running the black and white version of it, or it just says minus color in the theaters now. But the film, I mean, is done very well. The thing that really raised my interest about it is the human characters are interesting, is what I heard. And after watching it, you know, I definitely agree with that, to where more times than not, when you see a Godzilla film, you're just invested in the creature, the monster itself, or two monsters fighting back and forth, and then the human characters are more, you're not really invested in them, or they're not really interesting characters. And this one was complete opposite, to where when Godzilla does show up, you are just like, your first impulse is just to make everyone run, you know, like everyone needs to run, everyone needs to escape. As before, I really wasn't invested in the human characters because their dialogue was bad. The characters weren't very interesting. The acting wasn't very good. So it's just like, I guess in those films, just the human parts of it were like fillers, you know. With this particular film, the human characters were really the center of the movie, and Godzilla became this antagonist that they had to defend themselves against, which has always been the case. But really, in a lot of these films, it's like Godzilla is really the good guy, and you know, this giant creature is fighting against, you know, the bad creatures or whatever the case may be, and then the people are just getting in the way. Well, with this particular film, Godzilla is really the antagonist, like this evil being that's just demolishing buildings and just ruining people's lives. And so I found myself not rooting for him, rooting for Godzilla in this film. I was actually rooting for the human characters because I cared about the relationships that had been built, you know, in the beginning of the film. And so, like this person here, he's the main character. Like, these two are really the main characters. And then the little girl that they're taking care of, it's like you really care about them, and you hear about their backstories, and you see the difficulties that they're going through, because this is set at the end of World War II. I believe it was 1945 where they started the film at, and the war was about to end. And so Japan was really in a bad situation, because the citizens there, like even those in the military, they pretty much knew, like, they lost the war, you know, even though the war wasn't officially over, like they knew they lost the war. And then you have the atomic bombs, which they really didn't allude to like directly in the film, but you know enough to where that's where Godzilla was, or how Godzilla was born, from the atomic bomb explosions, or the aftermath of that, some type of reaction to the explosion created this monster that's basically made of radiation and whatever else is just, you know, born, you know, in the ocean floor or something like that. So So when you see the parts where you have the city getting destroyed, you really feel bad for the people, because it's like, okay, they've already gone through enough as far as the entire country being decimated, entire cities being destroyed, you know. You have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people dying from the atomic bombs. And then now on top of that, you know, they have this creature just shows up and starts destroying everything that they're trying to rebuild. So I found it interesting how they, like, the reality of 1945 and the World War II, they really intertwined it with something that was completely fictional, right? Completely made up. But they wove it into the story really well so that it's believable. And that's why you end up, you know, really feeling for, you know, the people that are there. So I thought that was interesting. Now, let me see if I can jump into this one here. Oh, it's a commercial.
You seek the key, but you must...
So there are, the entire thing's really, like, I would say most of it's subtitles. They do have a scene here or there where it's English is being spoken like a voiceover, but the rest of it's subtitles, and I didn't know how, because I haven't watched a movie with subtitles in so long, so I was thinking, okay, can I read the dialogue and continue to pay attention to what's going on? And it's fine. I didn't have any trouble with it at all. Okay, so you saw that guy with the bandage around his head. That's one of the main characters. And then this is the person that he's, well, this is the other main character, right? So he had already ran into Godzilla before on an island. And that's when Godzilla was much smaller. But I think this is a year or two after that first encounter that he had with him, where Godzilla has grown, and it's just like, I guess he's absorbing all of the radiation from all these bombs and the explosions and whatnot. So he's grown quite a bit from the first time that we see him in the film. So he tells her about his experience, and she's trying to make sense of it. But then when she goes to, I believe it's pronounced Jinza, she's going to work at a new job, and then all of a sudden Godzilla shows up and he's massive, you know. And so that's why she's saying, is that Godzilla? Because it's like, oh, that's what he was telling me about. So yeah, that's, and by this time we already had both of their backstories, and it's just like, oh no, this is gonna be really bad, right? What is it? I don't know. Something big. Oh, and the thing about this is they also brought it back to reality, in that the Japanese government was, they were saying they knew about the threat, but they were saying, we're not going to let the citizens know, because then that would cause panic and chaos, and they didn't want people to go into a panic and start chaos. But then, of course, we in the audience are thinking, well, what happens when this giant monster shows up? You're going to have panic and chaos anyway. So they didn't evacuate the cities. They didn't warn the people. So the people who were in the military, the higher ups, they were just saying, like, you know what? This is standard government procedures. Like, they don't, they want to control the narrative and keep people in the dark just to keep control, right? And so as we're listening to that, an American audience, we're like, well, they're the same as our government. They want to control the narrative, and they want to keep, you know, control of everything, right? So then there's a lot of things that go on that we don't know about here in America. So even if you're not Asian or Japanese, it's like you still relate to what the Japanese people are going through, because the human experience is the same. So I also found that interesting. But yeah, he's this is the main character, and the acting was really good. The dialogue was really good. Everything was really was believable. And so I appreciated that part about it. But he had gone through so much stuff because, okay, spoiler, right? He was a kamikaze pilot. So he was supposed to fly his plane into one of the Navy ships for for the U.S. And he changed his mind, like he didn't want to die. So when he went to one of the islands in Japan, he pretended like something was wrong with his plane. And that's when he ran into his first encounter with Godzilla. And so he knew that something was wrong. But then he was like, well, maybe, you know, I'm being affected by the war. Maybe I imagined things. Maybe I imagined that I survived. So he's has like this post-traumatic stress syndrome where he's having trouble coming to grips with the war and everything that happened. So he's having trouble holding his own, his mind, his emotions together. So yeah, that's where he is. But and then this shot where the train car is tossed over and lands on the train on the tracks over here, that was crazy because it looked like the special effects looked real. And that's hard to do in 2024 because we've seen so many movies with special effects. It's like, oh, that's fake. But in this particular film, like the special effects were really good. And it's impressive because I was looking through the details and their budget was $15 million for this film. And so that's impressive, like how good they were able to make everything look, especially with the scale that they used. Because I like you taking a movie like The Avengers, where the film budget is like $180 million or something like that. So, you know what I mean? So it's like you and when you have a film budget that's $180 million, you expect the special effects and everything to be really good. And I'm like, for $15 million for the film's budget, they did really, really well with everything just across the board. Let me see if I can get. And I really don't want to mess up any of these names, but the director's name is Takashi Yamazaki. I believe that's how you pronounce it. But it says VFX written and directed by Takashi Yamazaki. So, yeah, the smoke here, you have Godzilla barely coming out of the smoke. Just this menacing presence and the look on her face. She was like, oh my gosh, we're all going to die, right? That's how we felt. And the, like I said, the special effects, just the way that they made him look, I was like, man, it's the best that I've seen. It's the best that I've seen. So whoever, whichever studios were behind the special effects, really, really good. I was really impressed. This is the sad part about it. Like I said before, normally when you get to the destruction part, you see his tail coming through the buildings, just demolishing everything. And you have all these people in the street running. You have the main characters here in the middle, and his tail is just swiping through, and they're trying to escape. So Godzilla comes into the city. He's literally stepping on people and just, oh my gosh. It kind of reminded me of Jurassic Park, where the T-Rex in the first Jurassic Park, he's like just like biting down on people, picking them up and throwing them. That's what Godzilla was doing in this movie. So I was like, wow, I hadn't seen them do that with him before. But on the first encounter, Godzilla was small enough, but he looked like a T-Rex. He reminded me of a T-Rex. So he's biting down on people and flinging them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a problem. So yeah, and like I said, as he's absorbing all this radiation, he's just getting bigger, right? And then every time he comes around, the fish in the ocean were dying. It was just really bad. This is a problem, for real. Yeah, so there's another still shot of the tail going through the buildings. Oh my gosh. This building is collapsing. Oh, and these people, they were actually reporters, news reporters. So he had the microphone over here, and they're saying he's coming through the city and he's massive and he looks like a giant. Some people were saying dinosaur, some people were saying monster. He was a really big sea. He was like a big sea creature. And of course, I thought he was going to bite down on them, but he didn't. He just swiped the building, the bottom of the building with his tail. And so they were on the roof of the building, and then the building starts to collapse. And you basically see them fall all the way down until they hit the ground. And it's like, oh my gosh. So again, I mean, that adds to like the cinematography in the film was really good too. So, oh man. And this is what I'm talking about. He's literally stepping on people. People were in the streets and he's just crunch, 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 crunch. And it's like, a lot of times this is alluded to, but it just hit you a lot harder with this film where he's just literally stepping on people. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is bad. Like, just very bad. And then I would say at this point in the film, I'm just asking myself, why is this creature so angry? You know, it's like, why is it your first inclination to, okay, I've just been born, I'm alive, I'm just going to blow up everything. It tear up everything. That's the only thing that I know how to do. I don't know. But yeah, it was just, wow. The design of Godzilla, really good with the little spikes or whatever those things are coming out of his back. Really good. Just the size, the weight of him. He had these really thick thighs too. Like kind of different from before. I think like different movies design him a little bit differently. So this one, he was more standing upright. Really big, heavy thighs. Kind of small feet. And then he always has kind of those T-Rex arms. His head was a bit smaller than what I'm used to, but the spikes on his back, they put a whole bunch of those more than I'm used to. So, I thought, you know, the design, the creature design was interesting. More buildings being torn apart. Post-war Japan had lost everything. Excuse me. And then all their symbols, it like makes me interested to figure out like how to read Japanese symbols. Let me see if I can get. Yeah, everything was gone. Oh, and so that ray, I think they have a clip of that beam that he fires out of his mouth. But this particular film portrayed it differently. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a still shot of that. On this particular shot, you can just barely see him swimming under the surface of the water. That was really cool. And then these are all of the, this is the first go around when he was smaller, and he got to one of the islands of Japan, and he killed the engineers that were there. They were like fixing the planes. Oh my gosh, he killed all of them. And this part of it was interesting because this guy is the brains behind the operation. He basically comes up with a plan of, okay, we've I don't know if I can say they studied him, but once Godzilla went to Ginza and basically wiped everything out, I think they said like 30,000 people died. They started taking samples that they could find and started studying the samples. And so this is the guy that comes up with a plan of how they could possibly stop Godzilla, kill him. But he needed help from military personnel. And of course, the military was scattered at this point, because this was post World War II, like right after. And so everybody was scattered. And when you start talking about, oh, you want to go back into another fight? No. No. Okay, and then you see the subtitle here. The government is not telling the public. And again, why is that? Because they didn't want to cause panic or chaos. But again, what do you think you're going to get when this giant monster shows up and starts demolishing everything? It's going to be panic. So he's getting everybody together, like the military personnel that they can find, and saying, hey, I need your help. So this is not a government operation. This is just the private citizens together. A lot of them had military ties. A lot of them had fought in the war, survived the war. And now he's bringing everyone he can find back together and saying, hey, we need to fight this threat because it's going to end up demolishing everything else that's still standing, right? So this is one of my favorite characters too. I mean, the characters in the film, oh my gosh, they're really, I like them. Yeah, they said somebody's got to do it. So yeah, this is part of the plan where they kind of have to entrap Godzilla into, I don't even know how to explain it because it was technical. They use some type of scientific method on this stuff. But the basic laws of how everything works, that's what they wanted to use against Godzilla. So they had to put together this elaborate plan, and everyone was like, some people were like, it's going to work, it's not going to work. Some people left because, like I said, they were tired of fighting, but he had enough people to initiate everything. Excuse me. And then this is back to Ginza and that ray that I was going to talk about. I'm trying to get a steel shot. Yeah, see, this is one of the coolest shots in the film as far as cinematography, to where this is actually one of their ships. Like the Japanese, they had this really advanced, for that time, warship. And it was just, it shows up just in the nick of time, and Godzilla's just getting hit like boom, 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 boom. The problem is Godzilla can get hurt, but then he regenerates on his own, like pretty quickly, actually. He regenerates, like literally like Wolverine super healing regeneration. That's what he does, which makes it a problem. So basically, it's the same principle. You have to hurt him fast enough. You know, he has to take on a large amount of damage so fast that he can't. He'll die before he has a chance to regenerate his cells. That's what they found out through their different encounters with him. Like, he can get hurt, bleed, all that stuff. But if you give him time, he's going to regenerate, you know, his cells just regenerate. And then the next thing you know, he's going to get upset and then everybody's dead, right? So that's what happened with this boat. or this warship. They hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him. I mean, they rocked him, right? He falls back into the water, and they're thinking, oh, we got him, and everybody starts celebrating, whatever. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was bad. He regenerates. He comes back. Basically, the ship gets blown up. And that's the end of that. And it becomes a problem. So it's like he's not invincible, but how do you actually inflict enough damage that he dies before he has a chance to regenerate? But yeah, this is what was left. This is what was left. So, see this little boat in my camera is kind of in the way. Hold on. I want to show, if I can, this boat. Okay, so right below me, there's this boat here. This boat is made out of wood. Like all these warships and stuff like that, they were made out of metal. So the Japanese figured that the U.S. had put a bunch of mines in the ocean, and the metal warships would easily trigger the mines. So after the war was over, they hired a whole bunch of people because everybody was looking for work, right? And it was hard to get work because a lot of stuff was destroyed. So the Japanese government paid really good for people to get on these wooden boats, again, not metal, all wood, go out into the ocean and start detonating from a safe distance, ideally detonating the mines so that the shipping lines could reopen. Because you can't reopen the shipping lines when you got the ocean full of mines. So that's what the main character, that's what the guy was doing. That is what his first job was after the war. So him, the genius guy that I was telling you guys about, the captain, some other people, it's like a lot of people were tied to this, but it was like four or five main guys. They went out there, and the guy, because he was a kamikaze pilot, he knew how to fire the 20 millimeter, 30 millimeter weapons, stuff like that, that was on the ships or the boats. So he was really good about aiming and all that. Like, he was really good. So he was basically able to get himself back in a decent position financially from doing something really dangerous as far as destroying mines. So that was crazy. This particular scene, and you guys have probably seen this on the trailer when she says he's a disgrace. This is when he tells her, and this is one of his neighbors. He's gone back home, and you can't even tell it was a town. Everything is just demolished. And then the lady tells him, since he's back home, she was like, there were air raids, and the bombs just dropped, and then they destroyed everything, right? So whole families died, or you had some one or two family members left, and then everyone else was gone. That's how the beginning of the movie started. So it was really sad. And when she realized that he was a kamikaze pilot, she understood, like, oh, you ran away from what you were supposed to do. You know, you were supposed to die honorably by crashing your plane into a U.S. Navy ship, you know, committing suicide that way. That was the honorable death that the Japanese government was telling the people. Like, this is how you represent or defend your country honorably. It's to die, you know, through this suicide, really. So he was carrying this shame for most of the movie. And it was rough. It was rough. It was rough. I believe this is one of the ships that are getting thrown across the city. Yeah. It's like when Godzilla showed up, people were just sitting there talking, and then all of a sudden something will fly across the... Here's a boat. Here's a train car. Something comes flying across, and it's like, okay, that's not good, right? It's not good. So yeah, Godzilla would make an entrance like that. Let's see if I can get... This is the part where he's saying, he saw Godzilla and he was saying that you're never going to forgive us. So he was basically saying the war created this monster, and now the monster is destroying us because we started this war, we caused the war, or something like that. So that's what he saw Godzilla as. It's like a punishment for the Japanese government starting a war or something like that. So that's what I understood from it. Yeah, it says we'll never forgive us. I love the logo. I really do. I like the logo. And then I was questioning, like, what is minus one? One of the previews which showed that after the war, the country labeled itself as zero, right? Because they lost everything. So if I understand it correctly, since the country was at zero, Godzilla shows up and starts destroying everything else that's like still left after that. They call it minus one because now you're in a negative. You're at zero after losing World War II, and now you're minus one because this creature is coming in and just demolishing everybody who's still left even after that. So that's what I got from it, because I questioned that for a long time, like what do they mean minus one. But yeah, I see all this damage in its skin. That's because they're shooting it with them. Like warships. I mean, they're taking out the cannons. They got the tanks up there. Boom, 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 boom. It's getting hit. And you can see it bleeding, the scales and stuff coming off. And I'm like, okay, but then it's regenerating too fast. So, like I said, they just weren't causing enough damage to kill it or make him stay down. I'm trying to show a shot of his tail. But yeah, see all the scales and everything's flying off. He is getting hit. So I'm like, oh my gosh. I was trying to show his tail. I think I might have passed it. I'm not sure. I wonder if I can scroll. Can I scroll? Yeah, but it's crazy. Okay, let me see if I can get one more. You seek the... Let me see if I can get one more and skip over the commercial. But you guys have to tell me what you think. Are you interested in seeing it now, or do you want... Or have you seen it already? I'm interested to hear everyone's thoughts on it.
Godzilla. -1.
That was really short. That was a short one. I think that was like a 30-second teaser. But like I said, I think they tied it together with real life so well that they took a lot of the fictional part of it out. So you were able to connect with the characters a lot better. This is the part where it takes him a while to charge this thing. And I like how they slow played it. It goes, you know, that light goes all the way. And they did that in one of the not the Japanese film, but the American made film where the spikes, they charge up. You can see everything charging up and then he fires it. But when he actually fires the beam in this particular film, it caused way more damage. It was like a nuclear blast to where you have the cloud. Wherever he fires it, just that cloud shows up like an atomic bomb went off. And then you have that aftershock, that wave that goes out and just starts demolishing everything. So it's basically like he can shoot an atomic bomb out of his mouth. That's how they played it in this one. As before, it was more played out like a like some type of a ray or a beam, an energy beam that he can fire out of his mouth. Right. And it had more precision. It was more controlled. This one, when he fired it, it was just like a bomb going off, right? So it caused a lot more damage. Like it caused a huge crater wherever it landed. And then it was just aftershock went out after that. And so everything just exploded. So basically, you figured that you had to kill him before he could fire that out of his mouth. Because if you wait to that point, I mean, everything, and I don't know how many miles of a radius it was going to be destroyed. So definitely he can take out a whole city with just one shot. There's a still shot in here. I just don't know where it is. Yeah, they barely show it. They barely show it. Even when it's all charged, he does like a pause. And then that light builds up in his mouth. And then he just fires it. And I mean, like, everything was gone. So it was that crazy. It was that crazy. They keep showing the same ad.
But you must.
They show the same ad over and over again. It's weird. Yeah, they go to another film. Okay. So, let me see. There's supposed to be three videos. Yeah. A 2 minute. 90 second and then like basically a 30 second video. Now you do have to be careful with ordering tickets because if the poster or the promo looks like this, the movie's going to be in black and white. So you got that -1.0 and then /C. It's basically minus color. That's what they call it. Everything's the film's gonna be in black and white. So that one they're showing in the major the movie theater rooms, like the larger rooms. Because the color version I think is already done its rounds through the theater for the most part. So now they're showing the, I don't know, they just decided to come out with a black and white version of it. Yeah, you see how he's standing upright? I'm like, I don't know, that's weird. He was more like a dinosaur before to me. Yeah, that is scary. And he's kind of got a little bit like an alligator reptile thing going. Yeah, definitely upright. Really long neck. His head is small compared to the rest of his body. Yeah, this is the end. A scene at the end where he showed up early, so it kind of threw off the plan, but they basically propelled him to the bottom of the ocean and then inflated him back up. Or like use these inflators to pull him back up to the surface of the ocean so fast that his body didn't have time to decompress because of the water pressure. So I think they dropped him down like 1,500 meters in the ocean they use these thrusters or these things, and they can explain it better in the film, but they basically pull them down. They use those warships to wrap this thing around them, so it fit them like a belt. And then the guy who was flying the plane, the pilot, he was just keeping them distracted, shooting him, flying by his mouth, and Godzilla was mad at him, so he's like trying to get this plane, because the plane had basically got on his nerves, right? So he's not paying attention to the warships encircling him, and they're wrapping this thing around his waist. So basically, once that wraps, it pulls him down, and like I said, it took him down like 1,500 meters. As far into the ocean as they could pull him down into the depths of the ocean. So then he was still alive, even though they dropped him down that fast. He was regenerating too fast. So then they decided, okay, we're going to inflate the stuff around him and use that air to pull him back up to the top really fast. And then I think that around 800 meters, the inflators or the crane or something like that broke, or he chewed through the cable or he partially chewed through the cable, pulling them back up. So they had a hard time getting them back up to the surface fast enough. Then the reinforcements that weren't supposed to show up actually showed up. They pulled him back up to the surface and he looked like that, like he was encased in ice, but he wasn't dead. He was still trying to move around. So it's like he's damaged. He's in critical condition, but they hadn't damaged him enough to kill him. But that was cool, though. But anyway, the genius scientist guy, that's the one I showed you guys before. That was his plan. Pull him down 1,500 meters. And if the pressure of the water didn't kill him, pull him back up to the surface really fast, and before his body can decompress, he would die, right? So in the theory of it worked. It's just, I don't know how heavy Godzilla is, but that's a lot of weight to try to pull up to the surface that fast, especially when he was down over 1,500 meters in the ocean. Yeah, this is when he showed up. They were leading him. They're trying to lead him back to the water. And that's when that plane showed up and started shooting him in the face. And he ain't like that at all. The kamikaze pilot that survived, he started shooting him in the face. He was like, I was scared of him the first time, but this time I'm going to go back and get him. He's going to avenge himself and then the people who died the first time around on the smaller island before. And then this is a really good shot. But see, this is why I didn't want to see the film in black and white, because I like the color. But yeah, he's chasing him. I actually think they should have gotten caught right there, but they didn't. It's like the warship showed up in time and started shooting him, because he was just like, just go ahead and grab him and get it over with. But he was just following him. And then there's like a 20 millimeter gun turret right here. They were shooting him in the face, and he was like, okay. That really didn't do anything. Yeah, but it's like, he's like a cross between an alligator, crocodile, T-Rex, something. I don't know. It's a lot going on with the character design. Yeah, his feet definitely look like a dinosaur, for sure. But this was sad, because people in the theater, it's like, you're stepping on people, you're killing people. you're yelling at the screen, telling people to run. It was sad. But yeah, he just, I don't know, he was angry. Now the car he picked up, that's the car that the one of the main characters is in. So she's dangling in this part, this car over here. And I'm like, you can't tell me that they're gonna kill off one of the main characters. Oh my goodness, because he's just walking around with the train car in his mouth. Like he just decided to pick up the train car and go for a walk. I'm like, yeah, this is not good. Oh, and this is footage of what the Japanese government or the military had from before, where they first spotted something's in the water. And then the next crew would come out and just see a bunch of ships all mangled up and whatnot. And there's like, what in the world happened out here? So that's the old black and white footage. But see, I didn't want to watch the film in black and white because when you have like skin that's really dark, it's hard to see all the detail. It's just the lighting doesn't look as good. So when it's in color, you can see everything a little bit better. But yeah, all the scales and whatnot falling off. I'm like, oh my goodness. He's getting beat up. I don't know. I would love to see the behind the scenes of that, to how his effects were created, like what they did to actually, like did they use models like puppets or, you know, because in the olden days, that's what they did. Or sometimes, like in Jurassic Park, they use a mixture of animatronics and CGI, computer special effects. Or I think they call it VFX. But yeah, she's in that train car. So he decides to go up to the train where she's sitting at. And not the one she's in, but the one right behind her, and he just bites into it and picks it up, and he just starts walking. And I'm like, this creature is mean. He's just doing mean things on purpose. But yeah, that's a shot that I like before. Yeah, he bit right into it, and she's sitting in this car up here. That's scary. I think in the American based films, he would actually go to nuclear power plants and start feeding off of that. But in this film, he was just feeding off of whatever he was feeding off the radiation from the atomic bombs that had been dropped. And I have no idea how that creates a sea monster or creature or like this, but I guess it's like a mutation of some kind, really on steroids. I mean, it was crazy. 'Cause normally any type of living organism consumes that much radiation is gonna kill you. Yeah, but you see how big his thighs are. Like that's crazy. And there's the genius scientist. I don't know if he was actually like a weapons specialist, but he was the one that coming up with the ideas. concept art. That is crazy. That's what it looked like, though. You go into a city and it looks like that. Let me think. I recognize this is the main character, the other main character. These two guys are probably writer director, maybe. Let me see if I can. Yep. Yeah. Okay, so that's the writer director here. And I believe this guy's the general, one of the generals. But yeah, these two on the outside, the guy and the girl, like they carried the film basically, because you're following their backstory and their journey and everything, and how they're surviving post World War II. And again, I think that's what makes the film successful, because you can't show Godzilla the entire time. You really have to have that, moments to breathe. So if you're gonna have all these people running around, you might as well make their characters interesting. This looks like. Okay, so that's the director again. These consoles look like they're for sound, for audio. That's what it looks like. They did an amazing job. I mean, they did an amazing job. I don't know if it was supposed to be in theaters for as long as it has been. Which is why, again, I think the black and white version is out now. They're treating it as a new they're treating the black and white version as it's a new release for the film. Yeah, he's upset. Oh my goodness. Very interesting, the concept art. Just to get to have a really good idea of how he looks. Weight distribution. Oh, that's the. It looks like he's got a lot, like back heavy, like a lot going on back here. Which is why I'm surprised that he's standing so upright. You know what I mean? Because once you have all this weight in your tail, in the tail, you want to kind of proportion more of that weight forward. But I don't know. They just have him like he's more so like he's standing up right now. This particular shot up here, they do have the weight distribution better, but it looks odd. Even though that's like more logical in terms of having his weight distributed across his body when you have that much of an elongated tail. But it does look awkward. So I can see now why they went with him standing like he's straight up, you know? And I guess his thighs are so thick, he's really using it as a base to hold all of his weight forward. Man, so that's all I have. Oh my goodness. They do have a well, not a website. Their channel on YouTube, Godzilla Official. This is the only one I could find. They've got Godzilla.com. They've got a few other trailers on here for Minus One. They've got a bunch of old school stuff like. Which is hard to take seriously when you see these really old films. The cast is on here, so it'll be interesting to hear about, their thoughts and that type of thing. Yeah, see, this is only 20 seconds long. So they're really short. It's really short. But yeah, see that there's a model green screen, pretty detailed model of Godzilla and green screen in the background. It surprised me if they did that a lot, but that's what it looks like they're doing. And of course, they're releasing another Godzilla King Kong film in America, the American version of it. I'm not gonna pay too much attention to that because the first couple of films, they're doing a better job with the creature side of it, like character design for Godzilla, King Kong, stuff like that. The actual human characters in the film, oh my goodness. In the American versions, they're just not, like I said before, they're just not very interesting to me. I wish they would put more emphasis or effort into the character development for the people, the human characters in the American version of Godzilla, but I don't know, because it's like our version of it, we treat the story as like it's this mega blockbuster film, huge budget, huge special effects, but the heart of the film is really not there. It's just like a popcorn film. There's not a lot of depth to it. There are some, but not nearly as much as Minus One did with this film. So all right, but that's just my thoughts on it. Again, I did like the film. I try not to go into it with a lot of expectation or high expectation, but I really did like the film. And there were enough people from all different walks of life, just like they have different interests. They're into different types of films. But they all were saying the same thing, that the film was really good. Character development, dialogue, you cared about the people, you cared about the story. It wasn't all about the monster. And when Godzilla did show up, it was really good. And this is the most scary Godzilla has been just ever. And then the sound of him walking, the roar, all is just, oh my gosh, it was really good. So I cannot wait for this to come out on, I guess they stream it first. I don't know who has the rights for this. 'Cause usually you'll have stuff come out on, it'll stream on Paramount, stream on Disney Plus. Sometimes, depending on who has the rights, it comes out on Redbox, and so you can get it from Redbox. But it just depends. I don't even know if this is under Sony. I don't know. 'Cause that's my other thought is like, who's gonna distribute this on DVD, Blu-ray, all of that. I don't know who's doing the distribution for it. And I think this movie is related to Shin Godzilla, but I don't know. And I didn't see that one. And then the ratings for this weren't as good. So I didn't pay too much attention to it. But hold on. Shin Godzilla, I didn't pay too much attention to this one. But this is recent, and it looks like it's in the same universe as far as the story that they're telling. But I don't know. And then this is the American one, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. It wasn't bad. It's just, again, it's like a popcorn film. There's really not a lot of heart into it. Very good visual, special effects, but you really don't care. You really don't care about the people. They're just, I mean, you're not really deeply invested into it. So it's not as interesting as it could be. Oh, and then the filming location is Tokyo, Japan. Production companies, Robot Communications, Toho Company, Toho Studios. And like I said, box office, the budget estimated 15 million. The opening weekend in US and Canada, they had almost 11.5 million. They made almost all of their money back in the first weekend. First opening weekend in US and Canada. And then right now the gross, I guess these are current. It's over $53 million. The worldwide gross over 100 million. They made their money back, So they put about 15 million in it to make it, and they're grossing over 100 million, over well over 100 million worldwide. They're gonna try to get as much. Oh man, they're gonna try to get as much money out of this as possible. They're gonna make another one for sure. They're gonna make another one. I don't know how, because the thing is that it's not that the special effects have to be good. The story has to be just as good. And I don't know how you can make the story really good unless you bring back the same people, and just have a continuation of where we left off in the first film. Because we're going to come back in a sequel wanting to follow the same characters, right? That's what I'm thinking. But yeah, they teased it at the end, the very end. I stayed until after the credits were over just to see if there was another bonus clip at the end, but there wasn't one, which I was disappointed in that. But they showed the little teaser before the credits, and there wasn't another one after that. There was not another teaser after the credits, so pretty sure they're gonna have to make another one. But I just, man, the story between the main two characters, that's really what I'm going to be interested in seeing, because where they left it off, I was like, it was really good how they ended it. The storyline for the people. And as I said in the beginning, Godzilla is the antagonist in this one for sure. Like, clearly, it's to the point where you want Godzilla to go somewhere else and bother some other people, but not Japan, which is, I'm just saying, it was awkward. That was awkward. But yeah, I don't know if they can spin that, turning the villain into was it like an anti-hero or something like that? Not really the hero, not really the villain, somewhere in between. But for this particular film, there was no in between. He was the villain. Godzilla was the villain. All the people, you're rooting for him. And like I said, you don't want Godzilla to go away, but bother somebody else. Find evil people in the world and go get them. But the people who are nice and we're rooting for them, leave them alone. And that just didn't happen in this particular film. So I guess that's part of it. That's the part of it that also makes it good. Strangely enough. It's like, I don't know. I've always thought of this creature being the protagonist, the hero in some type of way. But yeah, right now on IMDb, it's got an 8.3 out of 10, 41,000 reviews, comments, stars, I don't know. Somebody rated it. So, yeah. It was really good. It was really good. Okay, so again, leave your comments below on what you thought of the film, or if you want to go and see it. And like I said before, I don't think the color version of the film is going to be in theaters much longer, because like today where I'm at, the city where I'm at, it was only two shows today. It was one in the afternoon and the other one was well after 9 o'clock at night. So and that was it. Everything else, if you want something that's running all day, it's going to be the film in black and white, the black and white version of this one. So, all right, until next time, everybody, take care.